Hello everybody, this is Osho Radio from Amsterdam in Holland. Here's a new program of Osho Radio for you. We will have a discourse by Osho that contains a few meditations you can try out. Furthermore, there's music you can listen to and relax by, and always we try to let the music go together somehow with the words that Osho is speaking today. For now, just 1 hour for yourself, enjoying Osho Radio.
I've been fighting with the river for as long as I can think. I've been going against the current, I was scared that I would sink. I was swimming, didn't realize that floating felt so sweet. Now I'm absolutely wasted and I'm accepting my defeat. I've been busy in the future, I was running round the past. Now this moment's catching up with me and it's happening at last. I was living my dreams, I've been trying to beat the heat. Just like fighting with your shadow and I'm accepting my defeat. This fight to keep it going and you'll end up in a hole. Maybe money in the bank, but like a ghost without a soul. At the point where you are starving, though you eat and eat and eat. Now let it go now, let it happen, I'm accepting my defeat.
The discourse today is from the series Yoga, the Alpha and the Omega, Volume 8, Number 8. It is the first question. Somebody is asking Osho how to disidentify with the body and the mind. He's telling himself all the time, you're not the body, you're not the mind, but somehow it doesn't seem to be working. He's asking Osho what to do.
India, India, mother of a thousand suns, home to everyone who sleeps in your arms. India, India, show me the golden rule. I'm coming home to you, deep in my heart, with the oceans lapping at your feet, as the waves roll in, whisper in my ears, sweet songs of nothing, and I disappear. India, India, you are such a surprise, magic still alive, forever mesmerized. India, India, keeper of eternal flames, land of many names, golden bird never tame, with the oceans lapping at your feet, as the waves roll in, they whisper in my ears, sweet songs of nothing, and I disappear. Incredible India, 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 incredible India.
Not to be identified with mind and body. Still, I don't know how to do it. I tell myself, you are not the mind. Don't listen to your fear. Love yourself. Be content, etc., etc. Please explain again how not to get identified, or at least why I still don't understand you. It is not a question of telling yourself that you are not the mind, you are not the body. Because the one who is telling it is the mind. That way you are never going to get out of the mind. All telling is done by the mind itself. So you will be emphasizing the mind more and more. The mind is very subtle. You have to be very, very alert about it. Don't use it. If you use it, you strengthen it. You cannot use your mind to destroy your mind itself. You have to understand that this mind cannot be used for its own society. When you say, I am not the body, it is mind saying. When you say, I am not the mind, it is again mind saying. Look into the fact. Don't try to say anything. Language, verbalization is not needed. Just a deep look. Just look inside. Don't say anything. But I know your trouble. From the very beginning, we are taught not to see, but to say. The moment you see the rose flower, you say, how beautiful. Finish, the rose flower is gone. You killed it. Now something has come between you and the rose. How beautiful it is. These words now will function as a wall. And one word leads to another, one thought to another. And they move in association. They never move alone. You will never find a single thought alone. They live in a herd. They are herd animals. So then once you have said, how beautiful is the rose, you are on the track, the train has started moving. Now the word beautiful will remind you of some woman you once loved. Rose is forgotten, the beautiful is forgotten, now the idea, a fantasy, imagination, memory of a woman. And then the woman will lead to many other things. The woman you loved had a beautiful dog. Here you go. Oh, now there is no end to it. Just see the mechanism of the mind, how it functions. And don't use the mechanism, resist that temptation. It is a great temptation because you are trained for it. You work almost like a robot. It is automatic. Now the new revolution that is coming into the world of education has few proposals. One proposal is that small children should not be taught language first. First they should be allowed time to crystallize their vision, to crystallize their experiencing. For example, there is an elephant and you say to the child, the elephant is the biggest animal. You think you are not saying anything nonsense. You think it is absolutely reasonable and the child has to be told about the fact. But no facts need to be told. It has to be experienced. The moment you say the elephant is the biggest animal, you are bringing something which is not part of the elephant. How do you say, why you say the animal is the biggest animal? Comparison has entered, which is not part of the fact. An animal is, elephant is simply an elephant, neither big nor small. Of course, if you put it by the side of a horse, it is big. are by the side of an ant. It is very big. But you are bringing the ant in the moment you say the elephant is the biggest animal. You are bringing something which is not part of the fact. You are falsifying the fact. Comparison has come in. Just let the child see. Don't say anything. Let him feel. When you take to the child to the garden, don't say the trees are green. Let the child feel. Let the child absorb. Simple thing, the grass is green. Don't say. This is my observation, that many times when the grass is not green, you go on seeing it green. And there are 1001 shades of green. Don't say that the trees are green, because then the child will look just green. Any tree and he will look green. Green is not one color. There are 1001 shades of green. Let the child feel. Let the child absorb the uniqueness of each tree, in fact of each leaf. Let him soak. Let him become like a sponge who soaks reality, the facticity of it, the existential. And once he is well grounded and his experience is well rooted, then tell him the words, then they will not disturb him. Then they will not destroy his vision, clarity. Then he will be able to use language without being distracted by it. Right now, your language goes on distracting you. So, what is to be done? Start seeing things without naming them, without labeling them, without saying good, bad, without dividing them. Just see. And allow the fact to be there in your presence, without any judgment, condemnation, appreciation whatsoever. Let it be there in its total nudeness. You simply be present to it. Learn more and more how not to use language. Unlearn the conditioning, the constant chattering inside. This you cannot do suddenly. You will have to do it by and by, slowly. Only then, at the very end of it, you can simply watch your mind. No need to say, I am not this mind. If you are not, then what is the point of saying it? You are not. If you are the mind, then what is the point of repeating that you are not the mind? Just by repeating it, it is not going to become a realization. Watch, don't say anything. The mind is there, like a constant traffic noise. Watch it. Sit by the side and see. See, this is mind. No need to create any antagonism. Just watch. And in watching, one day, suddenly the consciousness takes a shift, changes, a radical change. From the object, suddenly it starts focusing on the subject if you are a watcher. In that moment you know you are not the mind. It is not a question of saying. It is not a theory. In that moment you know, not because your reason, intellect says so, for no reason at all, simply it is so. The facticity explodes on you. The truth reveals itself to you. Then suddenly you are so far away from the mind. You will laugh. How you could believe in the first place that you were the mind? How you could believe that you were the body? It will look simply ridiculous. You will laugh at the whole stupidity of it. not to be identified with mind and body, still I don't know how to do it. Who is asking this question, how to do it? See it immediately. Who is asking this question, how to do it? It is the mind who wants to manipulate. It is the mind who wants to dominate. Now the mind says, perfectly true, I have understood that you are not the mind. And once you realize that you are not the mind, you will become a super mind. The greed arises in the mind. The mind says, good, I have to become a super mind. The greed for the ultimate, for bliss, the greed to be in eternity, to be a god, has arisen in the mind. The mind says, no, I cannot rest unless I have achieved this ultimate. What it is? The mind asks how to do it. Remember, the mind always asks how to do a thing. The how is a mind question. Because how means the technique. The how means, show me the way so I can dominate, manipulate. Give me the technique. The mind is the technician. Just give me the technique and I will be able to do it. There is no technique of awareness. You have to be aware to be aware. There is no technique. What is the technique of love? You have to love, to know what love is. What is the technique of swimming? You have to swim. Of course, in the beginning, your swimming is a little haphazard. By and by, you learn. But you learn by swimming. There is no other way. If somebody asks you, what is the technique of bicycling? And you bicycle. You ride on the cycle. But if somebody asks, you will have to shrug your shoulders. You will say, difficult to say. What is the technique? How you balance yourself on two wheels? You must be doing something. You are doing something, but not as a technique, but as a knack. A technique is that which can be taught, and a knack is that which has to be known. A technique is that which can be transformed into a teaching, and a knack is something that which you can learn but cannot be taught. So learn by and by. And start from less complicated things. Don't suddenly jump to the very complicated. This is the last, the most complicated thing, to become aware of the mind, to see mind that you are not the mind, to see so deeply that you are no more the body and no more the mind. That is the last thing. Don't jump. Start by small things. You are feeling hungry, just see the fact. Where is the hunger? In you or somewhere outside you? Close your eyes. Grope in your inner darkness. Try to feel and touch and finger out. Where is the hunger? You have a headache. Before you take the aspirin, do a little meditation. It may be that the aspirin is not needed then. Just close your eyes and feel where the headache is exactly. Pinpoint it. Focus on it. And you will be amazed that it is not such a big thing as you were imagining it before. And it is not spread all over the head. It has a locus. And the closer you come to the locus, you become distant from it. The more diffuse the headache, the more you are identified with it. The more clear, focused, defined, demarked, localized, the more distant you are. Then there comes a point where it is just like a needle point, absolutely focused, and then you will come to have few glimpses. Sometimes the needle point will disappear. There will be no headache. You will be surprised where it has gone. Again it will come. Again focus, again it will disappear. At the perfect focusing, the headache disappears. Because at the perfect focusing, you are so far away from your head that you cannot feel the headache. Try it. With a small thing, they start. Don't jump to the last thing so immediately. So never ask how about it. It has nothing to do with how. It is a simple understanding. If you understand me, in that very understanding you will be able to see the point. I don't say you will be able to understand it. I say you will be able to see it. Because the moment we say understand, intellect comes in, the mind starts functioning. Seeing it is something, nothing to do with the mind. Sometimes you are walking on a lonely path and the sun is setting and the darkness is descending and suddenly you see a snake crossing the path. What do you do? You brood about it. You think about it, what to do, how to do it, to whom to ask. You simply jump out of the way. That jumping is a seal. It has nothing to do with meditation. It has nothing to do with thinking. You will think later on, but right now it is just a seeing. The very fact that the snake is there, the moment you become aware of the snake, you jump out of the way. It has to be so, because mind takes time and the snake won't take time. You have to jump without asking the mind. The mind is a process. Snakes are faster than your mind. The snake will not wait, will not give you time to think what to do. Suddenly, the mind is put aside and you function out of the no mind. You function out of your being. In deep dangers, it always happens. That is the reason why people are so much attracted by danger. Moving in a speedy car, going 100 miles per hour, or even more, what is the thrill? The thrill is of no mind. When you are driving a car 100 miles per hour, there is no time to think. You have to act out of no mind. If something happens and you start thinking about, you are lost. You have to act immediately. Not a single moment has to be wasted. So greater the speed of the car, more and more the mind is put aside and you feel a deep thrill, a great sensation of being alive, as if you have been dead up to now and suddenly you have dropped all deadness and life has arisen in you. Danger has a deep hypnotic attraction, but the attraction is of no mind. If you can do it sitting just by the side of a tree or a river or just in your room, there is no need to take such risk. It can be done anywhere. You have just to put the mind aside. Wherever you can put the mind aside and just see things without the mind interfering, Remember, this can be done without being suicidal. The thrill that comes to you when you are doing something that the society does not allow is coming from a state of no mind, but at a very great cost. Just look at small children hiding somewhere behind a wall, smoking. Watch their faces, so glad. They will be coughing and tears will be coming to them. Because taking a smoke in and throwing it out is just foolish. I don't say it is a sin. Once you say it is a sin, it becomes attractive. I simply say it is stupid. It is unintelligent. But watch a small child puffing a cigarette. His face, maybe he is in deep trouble. His whole breathing system is feeling troubled, nauseous. Tears are coming and he is feeling tense but is still glad. He can do something which is not allowed. He can do something which is not part of his mind, which is not expected. He feels free. This can be attained very easily through meditation. There is no need to move on such suicidal paths. If you can learn how to put the mind aside. When you were born, you had no mind. You were born without any mind. That's why you cannot remember a few years of your life, just the beginning years, 3, 4, 5 years, you don't remember. Why? You were there, why don't you remember? The mind was not yet crystallized. You go backwards, you can remember something that happened near the age of 4 and then suddenly there is blank. Then you cannot go more deeper. What happened? You were there, very alive, in fact more alive than you will ever be again. Because scientists say that at the age of 4, a child has learned, known, seen 75% of all his knowledge that is going to be there in his whole life. 75% at the age of 4, you have lived 75% life already, but no memory, because the mind was not yet crystallized. The language was to be learned, things were to be categorized, labeled. Unless you can label a thing, you cannot remember it. How to remember it? You cannot file it in your mind somewhere. You don't have a name for it. So first the name has to be learned, then you can remember. A child comes without mind. Why I'm insisting this? To tell you that your being can exist without the mind. There is no necessity for the mind to be there. It is just a structure that is useful in the society. But don't get too much fixated with the structure. Remain loose so you can slip out of it. It is difficult. But if you start doing it by and by, you will be able. When you come home from the office, try on the way to drop the office completely. Remember again and again that you are going home, no need to carry the office there. Try not to remember. If you catch yourself red-handed remembering something of the office again, drop it immediately. Get out of it, slip out of it. Make it a point that at home you will be at home. And in the office, forget all about the home, the wife, the children and everything. By and by learn to use the mind and not to be used by it. You go to sleep and the mind continues. You again and again say stop, but it doesn't listen. Because you have never trained it to listen to you. Otherwise, the moment you say stop, it has to stop. It is a mechanism. The mechanism cannot say no. You put the fan on, it has to function. You put it off, it has to stop. When you stop a fan, the fan cannot say no. I would like to continue a little longer. It is a biocomputer, your mind. It is a very subtle mechanism, very useful, a very good slave, but a very bad master. So just be more alert, try to see things more, live few moments every day, or few hours if you can manage, without the mind. Sometimes swimming in the river, when you put your clothes on the bank, there and then and there put the mind also. In fact, make a gesture of putting the mind also there and go into the river alert, radiant with alertness, remembering continuously. But I am not saying verbalizing, I am not saying that you go on saying into yourself that no, I am not the mind, because then this is the mind. Just non-verbal, tacit understanding. Sitting in your garden, lying down on the lawn, forget it, there is no need. Playing with your children, forget it, there is no need. Loving your wife, forget it, there is no need. Eating your food, what is the point of clearing the mind? Or taking a shower, what is the point of taking it in the bathroom? Just by and by, slowly, and don't try to overdo. Because then you will be a failure. If you try to overdo, it will be difficult and you will say it is impossible. No, try it in bits. Make very small targets. Move 1 foot at a time, inch by inch even. There is no hurry. Life is eternal. If you move slowly in life, you will attain much and with grace and grandeur and dignity. Don't be violent. The life cannot be changed by any violence. Be artful. Buddha has a special word for it. He calls it upaya. Be skillful. It is a complex phenomenon. Watch every step and move very cautiously. You are moving in a very, very dangerous place, as if moving between two peaks on a tight rope, like a tight rope walker. Balance each moment and don't try to run, otherwise failure is certain. Not to be identified with mind and body, still I don't know how to do. I tell myself, you are not the mind, don't listen to your fear, love yourself, be content, stop all this nonsense. Don't say anything to the mind. Because the fear is the mind, you rather be silent and listen. In silence there is no mind. In small gaps when there is no word, there is no mind. Mind is absolutely linguistic. It is language. So start slipping into the gaps. Sometimes just see, as if you are an idiot. not thinking, just see. Sometimes go and watch people who are known as idiots. They are simply sitting there, looking but not looking at anything. Relaxed, perfectly relaxed. Their face has a beauty. No tension. Nothing to do. Completely at ease at home. Just watch them. If you can sit for 1 hour like an idiot every day, you will attain. Lao Tzu has said, everybody seems to be so clever except me, I look like an idiot.
Crystal clear, every word you say is crystal clear, shining in your eyes, no trace of fear. Every time I look at you, I can't believe you're happening to me. Crystal clear, every word you say is crystal clear, shining in your eyes, no trace of fear. Every time I look at you, I can't believe you're happening to me.
This was Osho Radio for today. The music you listened to was by Nandin, by Bindu and the Atmospheres before the lecture. After the lecture, you heard Milarepa, Prem Joshua, and we will finish with a Dutch sannyasin called Swami Ramses Shafi. He was a very famous actor in Holland, and the fascinating thing was that everybody loved him, almost 12 million people at the same time. And even funnier was that if you met him in person, he always gave you the feeling he loved you as well. He made very beautiful songs, and the song you're going to listen to is from the time that he went bankrupt and he met Osho, and he was ever so happy. Even if you don't understand the words, I hope you will pick up some of his energy. Goodbye, everybody. Until the next time. Bye-bye. Namaste.
De wereld heeft mij failliet verklaard. Ik heb me nog nooit zo goed en licht gevoeld als nu. Ik heb me nog nooit zo schoon en bevrijd gevoeld als nu. Weg met de kroegen, weg voor zuip, weg zijn de katers, gewoon geplaagd. Glazige morgens en zorgens niet te betalen. De wereld heeft mij failliet verklaard. Het is een verbazingwekkend lot waar men mij mee stoorde. Een verbazingwekkend slot van wat eens bij mij behoorde. Geen parasieten, geen geblij, geen gestroop meer en gevrij. Geen gelik meer, het is voorbij, niets meer te halen. De wereld heeft mij failliet verklaard. Het is een geschenk van God en niet van de maatschappij. Het is een geschenk van God en dit is wat hij zei. Je moet weer werken, je moet weer zingen, je moet weer lachen. Je moet weer spelen, je moet weer geven en beleven, je moet weer stralen. De weg is vrij, de weg is open, de weg is mateloos van mij. Zonder bagage kan ik weer lopen, want ik ben nu vogelvrij. De wereld heeft mij failliet verklaard, ik ben ontstegen. Aan het volk ga ik in, ik ben ontstegen aan het matte oordeel. Ik heb niets meer te verliezen, ik heb alleen te winnen, te beminnen, te beginnen. Ik ben niet meer dat te halen.